Well, gentlemen, may I be the first to congratulate you, Colin and Stephen, this evening on your ordination to the ruling eldership here in Brookside. You have our thoughts and prayers, having to work with William, mind you, but other than that, we certainly do wish you God's richest blessing as you serve the Lord in this way. I realise over the past months you have been working through all of the classes. You will know very well exactly what is required of you as far as the eldership is concerned, and therefore I'm not going to deal with all of that tonight. That makes my task a lot easier right at the start. But what I am wanting to do this evening is to encourage you and to encourage the congregation as you seek to serve the Lord in this way. And I just want to think of a couple of the verses that Eddie read for us earlier on in Philippians chapter 1. And I want to think particularly there of verse 20 and 21. Here we find Paul saying that what he is doing, he will be doing according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A woman went to her door one day to find a little dog standing at the door with a newspaper in its mouth. The lady was very impressed by this, and she went into the house and she came back out. She had found some treats to give to the dog. So she gave the treats to the dog and then closed the door, and the little dog went away. The next morning when she came to her door, she opened it again, and there was the dog again at the door, this time standing with 8 newspapers on the doorstep. You see, that's what encouragement does. It encourages us to do greater things. It encourages us to push ourselves forward. And that is very much what I want to do here tonight. I want to encourage you. I'm not here to tell you the things that you already know. I'm not here to touch on the attributes that obviously this congregation has seen in you already, which is why they have selected you for the eldership in this place. But rather, I want to encourage you to keep on doing the things that you have been doing, and indeed, if anything, to do them even more. Paul says that his work in ministry is one to which he wants to give his all. He says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul says that as far as he is concerned, the ministry to which he is called is one that is worth dying for. It's worth dying for. On the 14th of May, 1988, a bus carrying a group of church kids was involved in an horrific accident with a drunk driver. As the driver piled into the side of the bus, he hit the petrol tank and it erupted. It sent petrol right down the floor of the bus, which went on fire. And many of those children died that day. In fact, 24 children were killed in the bus that day, and 3 adults. Amongst the adults was a youth pastor called Chuck Kitta. He was sitting right behind the driver. Others on the bus who survived saw Chuck Kitta as his clothes caught fire. And as they did so, he remained standing on the bus, and he said this, "Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm coming home." As he said so, he looked up as the flames claimed another victim. He perished that day, but his death had a profound effect on others. A journalist wrote in one of the local newspapers, "The only way to explain how a man could calmly accept, almost welcome a painful death, was to acknowledge that he understood some great truth I didn't, that he had something, faith, hope, God, maybe, something that I didn't have. And try as I might, I couldn't help yearning for whatever he had that made death a thing to embrace rather than to fear." Sometime later, that same journalist came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't this what Paul meant when he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain"? He is talking here about a passion with which he lived his life, and a passion with which he would die for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question that we as believers must ask is this: do we believe we have something worth dying for? Do we believe that our faith in Jesus Christ is something that is so essential to our lives that we would die rather than giving up Christ? And Colin and Stephen, you need to make sure that there is a passion within your work for the Lord here in this place and elsewhere. A passion that says Jesus Christ is worth dying for. Now, as we think about this tonight, I have three negatives in my points, but I hope that you can see the positives behind them, and they come out for us in this passage. The first negative is this: no shame. No shame. Do you see what Paul says in verse 20? He says, "I hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also with Christ, also Christ will be magnified in my body." Paul says, as far as his life is concerned, he realizes that it has to be a case of no shame as far as Jesus is concerned. Now, the word that is used for ashamed here in the Greek literally speaks of a disfigurement that brings disgrace. I don't know if you've ever seen the program on television, The Clinic of Embarrassing Illnesses. Have any of you seen it? I know you're Presbyterians, but feel free to nod your heads. Have any of you seen the program? Some of you have. I haven't. Shame on you if you've watched it. I'm only joking you. My wife sometimes would watch it, but it shows these people who have problems that they're utterly ashamed of. Perhaps eczema that they can hide away from everybody else, but they're ashamed of it, or something else like that. And the Apostle Paul says here that he is not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that he is not embarrassed of Jesus Christ. You see, the problem is that sometimes as Christians, it seems as though we want to hide our faith away in case of the ridicule of others. But rather than that, we need to be passionate about sharing our faith. I trust Stephen and Colin that you are passionate about sharing your faith. I trust that there is a passion that is burning within you that at times you just cannot help but to share out with others. Never lose that passion. Never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. After all, Jesus was disfigured for us. Sometimes as Christians, we feel as though we are the odd ones out. We think that we are the weirdos in our society. But the reality is that sin has disfigured this world, and it is only through Christ that we can be made right. Jesus was disfigured for us. And surely if there is any other reason, if there is any reason that we need to be passionate about Christ, it is exactly that. So what are we to be passionate about? Well, Stephen and Colin, let me suggest to you tonight that there's some things you need to be passionate about. We need to be passionate about our own souls. I want to say to you, never shirk the place of personal devotion. You may have pressures placed upon you through your work, whether it's working in pharmaceuticals or whether it's working here in Brookside and the minister's given you a desperate workload. Whatever it is, make sure that your quiet time is an absolute priority. Make sure that you take time with the Lord before you leave in the morning, time with the Lord before you go to sleep at night. Make sure that you live your day in the attitude of prayer. Your personal time between you and God must be a priority. Place yourselves under the Word. Sadly, in my day going through training for the ministry, there were those in ecclesial circles who felt that the right thing to do was to dismantle the whole of the scriptures and then try to build up the scriptures again, block by block, the bits that we were happy with, discarding the bits that we weren't. But that's not how we should deal with the scriptures. We need to place ourselves under the scriptures. Allow the scriptures to change us, to challenge us, to mold us, and to shape us. Colin and Stephen, you need to make sure that you submit yourselves to the Word of God and to His will upon your life. Be passionate about your own soul. Be passionate about your own families. There will be many demands on you in the days ahead. You both have children. I think, Colin, you have 3 children. Stephen, you have 4. See, I did my homework. Make sure that you give them valuable time. You both have wives, Gillian and Carrie-Anne. Tell you, I know all about you. It's powerful what you can find out in Google. But make sure that you give them time. Make sure that they are a priority in your lives. The Lord has given them to you, and you need to make sure that you love them to the very best of your ability and that you care for them. Be passionate about your own soul. Be passionate about your own families. And be passionate about your own work. Whatever it is, be passionate about it. Whether it's working in pharmaceuticals, whether it's working here in the congregation, whether it is working in your districts, whether it is the work that you'll be doing within Kirk Session, whether it is the work you'll be doing in organizations, be passionate about it. Be all out for Jesus Christ. See everything that you do, whether it's in your homes or your workplaces, as an opportunity to serve Jesus. And what I say to Colin and Stephen here tonight, I say to each person who knows and loves Jesus Christ, make sure that you don't simply make Jesus something that happens in your life at the weekend. Make sure that you share him with others right throughout the week. Paul says, as far as his life is concerned, there should be no shame. But he also said that there should be no fear. Do you see what he says here? That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness. Paul tells us to have sufficient courage as we fulfill our calling. The literal understanding of this is that we are to be outspoken, that we are to be frank, that we are to be bold in declaring our Lord. You know, people don't understand by and large how terrifying it can be to visit members in their congregations until they have to do it. Gentlemen, I know that it can be frightening. You don't know what you're going to face in any evening as you go into your district. You don't know what questions are going to be asked of you. You don't know what debate is going to ensue. You don't know what conflict may lie on the other side of a door. And quite honestly, I'm sure at times you're wondering how you're going to manage to visit your districts. I remember years ago hearing about a minister who was visiting in one of his members' homes. And as he was sitting in the home, the lady that he was visiting said, "Isn't that your assistant knocking on the door on the other side of the road?" And the man says, "Yes, it is." And they watched as the assistant took his glove off, put it up underneath the knocker, and then knocked the door. He then moved up to the next house and did exactly the same thing again. Before long, he had visited the whole street. And would you believe it, there wasn't a soul who came to the door. Sadly, I believe he had missed out on the opportunities that were there, perhaps because he was terrified, frightened of what would ensue in a visit. But here Paul says that whatever we do, we are to do with a boldness, We're to do without a fear of man, but instead a holy and reverential fear of God. Mind you, when we read in 2 Timothy 3 what people can be like, we can understand why we might be a little frightened. 2 Timothy 3 says people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that all in one night's visitation. The reality is, Colin and Stephen, you don't know what you're going to face as you go around visiting in your district. There will be problems that will come your way. And you could look at those problems as something that frightens you. Or you could look at those problems as a privileged position that the Lord has given you to be able to come and open the scriptures to help people with their situations, with their difficulties, and to pray with them that the Lord would richly bless them. As we serve the Lord, we are to remember that the Lord will be with us at all times. Gentlemen, be emboldened by your calling here tonight to serve the Lord with no fear of man, but to have a holy reverence for God. One pastor finishes all his letters with these words, "Lord, grant that the fire of my heart may melt the lead in my feet." Don't settle for anything less than God's best in your ministry here in Brookside. Can I say to you, folk of Brookside, I'm sure you don't fit that description we looked at in 2 Timothy a few minutes ago. I'm sure you're perfectly lovely people. William has told me that so often. It must be worth a tenner, William. But when these men call to visit you, when any of the elders of this congregation call to visit you, treat them with love and respect. Help them as they seek to help you. And I'm sure as these men call around their districts, they would love to know where each of you stands spiritually, whether you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. And it'll help them to know what passage they're to read with you, how they're to pray for you. Be honest with them. Be straight with them. But in a loving, caring, compassionate way. No shame, no fear, and lastly, Paul says, no pride. He says here that he should not be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm pretty sure that you're not the sort of folk who want to draw attention to yourselves. William has told me that. But we have to sometimes stand up for the cause of Christ. But we need to make sure that when we do so, that it's never about us, but it is always about our God. This verse tells us that we're to be drawing attention to Christ. In some of your versions, it will say that Christ will be exalted. And the term here literally means to magnify. I remember years ago in a former congregation I'd been involved in, getting a phone call from a member, and the person said to me, "I knew you were in." I said, "Did you drive past the manse? Is that how you knew I was in?" "No, but I knew you were in." It was only some time later when I was visiting with a gentleman, and I said to him, "What's the telescope for in the front of your room?" He says, "Why don't you go and have a look through it?" And I had a look through it, and you know where it was directed? At my study window in the manse. So he could see when I was sitting working, when I was home, or where I was. The telescope made big what he was seeing. And you know, we need to make big of God in our conversations. We need to make big of God in our lives. And it's not something that's difficult to do, because there's plenty of information we can find out about God through the Scriptures. God reveals so much of himself to us, and it should be something that is pleasant to do for us to tell others about God. We sing sometimes, "May the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." And isn't that how it should be in our lives? That the beauty of Jesus is seen in us. Colin and Stephen, make sure that that's the case with you. Make sure that you take every opportunity to share Jesus Christ with others. And never be ashamed of the gospel. We need to lift high the news of Jesus that all may desire to come to know him. John the Baptist had it right when he saw a need to decrease so that Christ may increase. And this not only applies to those who are called to the eldership, it applies to all who know and love Jesus. It's not to be about us, it's to be about God. Our worship is not to be about us and what we desire and what we want. It is to be about God. Everything in our lives, our work, our home, our free time, everything is to be about God and not about us. So often, we want to draw the attention to us. We want to get what we desire. But Paul says, it's about no pride. It's not about me, but it's about magnifying Christ. And that's what we need to do. C.T. Studd, the famous English cricketer who gave up his vast wealth to become a missionary, said this: "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Stephen and Colin, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to serve him in this place. Remember what Paul says to us, that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Folk of Brookside, listen to these men. Accept them. Honor them for the office to which they have been called. Pray for them and support them as they seek to serve the Lord in this way.